Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a good God. And we thank you for your promise that your word will never come and return the same, that it will accomplish that for which it has been sent. And Father, as we tarry before you this evening, we pray, Lord, that speak to us in a clear manner, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. How would it be if you could have known your life by the time that you were born, that you could know in this year I'll be in this place, the other year I'll get married, or whatever the case may be, and then in that year I will die. How would that be? Would you like that? You wouldn't like that. Okay, because people go to palm readers and witch doctors and other kinds of things to try and find out about their future, how their future is going to be. And then those of us who are in technology, we're trying to speculate, you know, where is the technology going? What is going to happen in the future and so on? Is it not wonderful that we serve the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Praise his name. And we serve a God to him one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. That boggles my mind. I mean, we live only for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. And if somebody reaches 100, we think that, whoa, that is great. But our God, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. That is the God that we serve. And our God does not live in time. Nay, we know that. He lives outside time. And that's why the Bible says Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the earth. Before the earth became, before God said, let there be, Jesus was already crucified. And a very painful story in the crucifixion story of Jesus is the story of Judas. That is the most painful story. Because Jesus says it would have been better if Judas was not born. Because somebody had to betray Jesus. And when Jesus was walking around with his disciples, he knew, this one is going to betray me. And he says, it was better if Judas was not born. And remember also in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying, and I'll talk about those things a little bit as I go along. When he was in agony, he was in pain, because the cross was not going to be easy. And those of us who have seen movies, films on the crucifixion, and we have read about that, we know that that was the most difficult time. And Jesus prayed, and he said to God, if it were possible, take away this cup from me. But let it be your will. Because there was no any other way that God could be reconciled to human beings except that Jesus died on the cross. And that's why this evening I want to talk to you on the subject of the sufferings of Christ. And I want to say the reason why Christ suffered as he did, and I hope I demonstrate that adequately this evening, the way he suffered, his suffering was as a result of you and as a result of me. And I want to say to you, God had to reconcile the world to himself. And somebody said this thing which I found very, very interesting, that even if there was one human being on earth, and that human being was you, Christ will still come to die on your behalf so that you could be reconciled to God. That is how great actually God loves us. So, but the question that we're asking this evening is, why did Jesus have to suffer? Was there no any other way that God could actually have brought forth except his crucifixion? And I just want to start in the beginning. Remember that in the beginning God created men, Adama, created them male and female. He created them. And then he put them in the garden of Eden. And then God gave them all the trees in the garden that they could actually enjoy those trees. And it says here, verse 16 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat it, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die, or you'll surely die. Okay, and this, the question of death, as we will see, the Bible here, when it talks about death, it talks about death in a twofold manner. Okay, the first kind of death that Adam and Eve would die was to be separated from God, will be moved from their position in their relationship with God. But the second one that we all know is that as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve, we also die the physical death. So, and maybe it's very difficult for us to imagine this. If Adam and Eve did not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we would live forever. Okay, and obviously, I mean, we will live forever. We will not have gray hairs along the line, loss of memory, and all these other things, and the sufferings that people have in old age. We will not have that. And by the way, remember what that also happened in this particular case. There were two trees in the middle of the garden. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And what God had to do, after they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God had to prevent them from eating the tree of life. Because if they ate the tree of life, they would have lived forever separated from God. But something even more interesting, by the way, do you know that those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, who are going to live forever, we have eternal life? Okay? We will not get old and bored. You know, praising God day and night in his presence. And we only have that if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then when we read again, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then verse 7 says, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig trees, leaves together, and they made coverings for themselves. And you know, when you read here in chapter 3, remember, when you read in chapter 2, Genesis 2 verse 28, it says the man and his wife were naked and they were not ashamed. And obviously, I mean, given what the Bible says there, this nakedness of Adam and Eve could not have been physical nakedness, because they were naked in each other's company or presence and they were not ashamed. So this was because they were separated from God. And I just want to say quickly, remember, sometimes there's some reality that we want to illustrate or demonstrate, but it's very difficult for you to be able to see it. And the only way that God could actually have indicated to Adam and Eve that they were separated from him was through their physical nakedness. Because that is what they could see. Because we are, as human beings, we can't see in the spiritual world. I mean, they couldn't see that they were separated from God. I mean, the same thing. I mean, if you think about it, when you get born again, you are reconciled to God. You become alive spiritually. But do people see that you are alive spiritually? Or do you yourself see? Can you see, oh, I'm alive spiritually? You can't, because we can't see in the spiritual realm. Okay. So the same thing which God had to do for Adam and Eve was to help them so that they can know that they were separated from him. I mean, let's take other practical examples in life. When you marry somebody, you come before the pastor, all right? And the pastor makes you to do some exchange of vows and so on. And then from there, he puts a ring on you. He asks you to put the ring on the other person. And then when we finish, we say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Mr. and Miss. Did anything else happen except your exchange of vows? But now from that day, we know that you are married. Okay, and then you need to remind yourself, by the way, that I'm married, as you go along. I'm talking to those who are, okay, right. Now, Adam and Eve have eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They are spiritually separated from God. It's illustrated to them through their physical nakedness. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death resulted from sin, therefore everyone dies. Because everyone has sinned. So if you are born in the Mokwena family, you are Mokwena. If you are born in the family of the fallen Adam and Eve, you are fallen whoever. So by virtue of us being the descendants, the children of Adam and Eve, we are naturally separated from God. So now every one of us, when we are born sinners. Okay, you know, I like small children. They are so cute, but they are sinners. Remember that. Yeah. So, and you will not teach them to do, any evil. They will do it naturally because they are little sinners. Okay. So we are all born sinful. And remember, that's why the Bible says our good works before God are like a filthy rag. So whatever good thing that you are trying to do outside knowing Jesus Christ, it's a filthy rag. And you know, in our culture, we there are some things that we like, you know, like if somebody was good and he was doing this and the other, and then they die, and we say, ah, that one has gone to heaven. Okay, and even the worst one is if your funeral is attended by just too many people, we say, ah, no, what's it? But I want to say to you, the only way of getting there is by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And in Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But now that we know Jesus Christ, we are now alive in God. And then when we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, we're talking about why Jesus had to suffer. And something that we need to mention is, remember, Adam and Eve fell on earth. I mean, they sinned here on earth. And because God put human beings here on earth, all right? So Jesus Christ didn't have to die in heaven for him to set us free. And that's why the Bible says there is one mediator between man and God. It is the man, Jesus Christ. And remember, when it comes to reconciliation, If you have to reconcile two people, you must be in agreement with both those two people. So, I mean, if I'm in loggerheads with somebody, and then the friend of that person who's an enemy to me wants to come to me and say something, no, I'm becoming suspicious that you're up to something. But that person must be in good terms with me, and be in good terms with the person I'm not in good terms with. Okay, and that's what the Bible says. There's only one mediator. And what that means is, we can't say all religions are the same, all religions are equal. They are not. Because those religions don't have a mediator. Because we have that mediator, which is only one mediator. And the reason why Jesus can become our mediator is because, remember, he came from heaven, he was sinless. And then he had to come down and take a human body. And that's why the Bible says we have a mediator who understands our weaknesses. Because he came here and he became a human being. Otherwise, he was not going to be able to sympathize with us. And the Bible says he sympathizes with us because he was one of us. He suffered, he had the human form. And then he says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And remember, the greatest work of the devil was this one of separating human beings from God. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And in John 10, verse 10, it says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, referring to the devil. And he says, I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. That's the reason why Jesus Christ came. All right, I'm just going to say some few things quickly about his crucifixion, and then we will be drawing to the end. We all know that Jesus was arrested and sentenced to death by crucifixion, and that he was mocked, beaten, and forced to carry his own cross. And then at Golgotha, he was nailed to the cross, and he was left there to die. Except that one Roman soldier, after he saw everything about Jesus, he realized that this man that we crucified today was not an ordinary man. And he said, truly, this was the Son of God. Because people hang on the cross for hours upon hours. Jesus, within a short space of time, he had actually died. And that's why what Palisa was saying this morning, his legs were not broken, because they had to break people's legs for them to die. And remember, the reason was because Jesus, his life was not taken away from him. He gave it to us for our redemption. Right, I just want to quickly look at the sufferings of Jesus and the pain that he suffered. And the first one that I want us to look at is Jesus suffered great emotional pain that me and you would never suffer. Because should we suffer that pain, we will not survive. It says in Matthew 26, verse 38, then Jesus said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay and keep watch with me. That is in the NIV. And in the NLT, it says, he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. So, when people become depressed, it's something similar, something very similar to this, where people feel there's no other option except to take their own lives. And Jesus was in this kind of agony that we are not able to understand. He suffered emotionally because of you and me. And you know, in the earlier ministry of Jesus, when he started, the Bible says the Spirit, after he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, it says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was alone. He had no contact with human beings. And the Bible says he was with wild animals. That was his company. And it says the angels, they served him there. And I'm saying to you, Jesus' agony and suffering did not only start on the cross. It started even at the beginning of his ministry. And that was the emotional pain that he went through, and he did that for me and you. And Jesus also suffered physical pain. And the Bible says, about 3 PM, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me?" And remember, Jesus has always been in the company of God. But because of my sin and your sin, for a moment, God abandoned him. And he cried with this loud voice in this agonizing pain. And not only physical pain, not only emotional pain, spiritual pain. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And Peter, okay, I'm just going to say some few things about our redemption and hope, and then we come to the end. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope for new life and future in God's presence. And through his suffering, Jesus brought redemption to you, to us as human beings. And his sacrifice offers forgiveness and a path to eternal salvation. And as I conclude, of all the apostles of Jesus Christ, Peter was the only one who came closest to seeing the suffering of Christ. Because when he was in the garden, Peter was with him there. When he came several times to them and said to them, "You could not wait with me for an hour." But when all other disciples were scattered and they ran away, Peter stayed behind. And remember, Peter, in his human energy, he had said to Christ, I will be with you. I'll go and suffer with you." And Christ said to him, "Before the cock crows, you would have said you don't know me 3 times, isn't it?" Okay. And Peter, that actually happened. But beside that, he was there. He was there. He saw a little bit as compared to the other apostles because they actually had run away. And then Peter writes very extensively about the sufferings of Christ because he was a witness to that suffering. I mean, very, very in close proximity as compared to the other disciples. And then, as I conclude, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, or suffering among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though something strange were happening to you." And I want to say to you, if you are a true believer, a child of God, you will go through suffering. And Paul says, through many sufferings, we will enter the kingdom of God. And the gospel, which pretends to be the gospel and tells you that because now that you know God, you are a child of God, you are a child of the King, you know, everything must go well with you, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory, you may also rejoice and be overjoyed." And he goes on to say, The worship team can come forward. He goes on to say, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And he concludes by saying here, make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. Don't suffer because of wrongdoing. Suffer because you are following Christ. And if you do that, then you know that the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. May God bless you.